Well, happy Sabbath again, everyone. And as the title there shows in the slide, today I'll be talking about the twin institutions. Now, just a brief disclaimer, I'll be going through a lot of things just briefly. I mean, you can spend hours, even days, speaking about any of these different topics, but I believe that many of you already understood a lot of these things, and I continue to encourage you, if you haven't, spend time with each other, study God's Word. Just because we go to the same church, just because we claim to be Seventh-day Adventists or believe in God, does not mean we all believe in the same thing. And so it's important to interact, have fun, but also to study God's Word so that we are all understanding and be in one accord, just as the disciples were in the upper room. They didn't just assume because they were around Jesus, they knew. They spent time together in the upper room for 10 days until they were in one accord. Sorry, oop, getting a little ahead of myself there. So this twin institution, let's go to, go on the screen here on Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 27, and then chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. They will tell us what these twin institutions are that God gave to mankind. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And on the seventh day, this is chapter 2, verse 2, on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God had created and made. So now we're starting to see from Scripture, this is at creation, this is the beginning of the Bible, talking about marriage and about the Sabbath. There's this quote from Adventist Home, page 340, paragraph 4, it says, then marriage and the Sabbath had their origin, twin institutions for the glory of God in the benefit of humanity. So God didn't just decide to just put this in there and make it a burden. No, it was supposed to be for a benefit for humanity, not for Jews, not for Christians, not for a selected group, but for all humanity. This was done at creation, before there was any division of people, before there was any kind of other groups or diversity. It was just one man, one woman, and God had provided this as a blessing, as a benefit for all humanity. From Signs of the Times, February 28, 1884, says this about these two institutions. It says, they were two institutions founded in Eden that were not lost in the fall. The Sabbath and the marriage relation, these were carried by man beyond the gates of paradise. He who loves and observes the Sabbath and maintains the purity of the marriage institution, thereby proves himself the friend of man and the friend of God. He who, by precept or example, lessens the obligation of these sacred institutions, is the enemy of both God and man, and is using his influence and his God-given talent to bring in a state of confusion and moral corruption. Give you time to let that sink in. So even if you might be lessening the obligation of these twin institutions, it's hope is not lost. There's still chance for us to come to the Lord and come to repentance. There's still chance for turning away from this. But let's begin. Let's start with, here on the screen, let's start with the Sabbath. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. So after God had created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, there was an extra day he added to the week. And it says there in verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished. They were complete. There was nothing else to be done. He was done, finished. And all the hosts of them, verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. For God to be able to Oh, let's continue. I'll get to that in a second. Verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So after God finished his creation work, he rested on a new day, the seventh day, the Sabbath. Out of all the days, out of all the 7 days, is the only one that he sanctified. He set it apart of all the rest for a holy purpose. An only day that God blessed, a day of rest, a day of joy, from all toils, from all stresses, from all the work week. A day really to remind us of God as the creator and as our redeemer. Israel was in Egypt as slaves. God sent Moses to deliver them out of this bondage, this slavery that they had. And once God delivered them from the hands of Pharaoh, in the wilderness, God gave them the Ten Commandments. Something to keep in mind, that God freed them. They were free from the bondage, from the slavery that they had, but they did not live a life of anarchy. They weren't do as thou wilt and everybody did whatever they wanted. He was then teaching them how to live according to God's word, how to live heavenly, how to live in God's kingdom. And any kingdom, any nation needs its laws. And then God gave them the Ten Commandments. But it's interesting how God wrote the fourth commandment, which is about the Sabbath. Let's read it. We can go, I have it on the screen. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Notice what it says there. It's not the Sabbath of the Jews or the Hebrews or the Christians or anyone else. It is God's day. We are to work for 6 days, but the seventh is not yours. It's God's. And notice what it says. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and all that them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So here the Sabbath commandment begins by saying, remember, for us to recall that holy and blessed day, the Sabbath. And it points us to creation. God as creator. God created, worked for 6 days, and rested on the Sabbath, the seventh day. After they had spent 40 years in the wilderness, finally they got a chance to enter the promised land. And right before they were to enter, Moses gave his last sermon, you can say. And within that, he repeated the Ten Commandments. But this time, it was different. It's a little bit different. I mean, the message is still the same. The Ten Commandment law is still the same. But the wording was a little bit different. And notice what it says when it came to the fourth commandment, the difference that it is. Go Exodus 20, when God gave the Ten Commandments, it was about reminding us, and you can find that in there, that it's about God as creator. But notice the difference here in Deuteronomy chapter 5. We'll go back on the screen. Is it big enough? Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12 to 15. And it says, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it. Now it isn't saying remember, now it's to keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, to set it aside from all the rest for a holy purpose. As the Lord thy God had commanded thee. Verse 13, 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy maidservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thy ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. So for the most part, very similar. Not much difference. Not much drastic difference. But notice what it says in verse 15. says, and remember that thou was a servant in the land of Egypt, and that thou and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God command thee to keep the Sabbath day. So here the Sabbath not only begins by telling us to keep it, it's a day separate than the rest of the week to be used for rest, for a holy purpose. The Sabbath, we told here, points us to God as our Redeemer. Because he is telling, reminding us that God freed them from Egypt by an outstretched arm. It is through God that was able to free them and redeem them back to themselves. During the time that they were enslaved, they weren't able to worship God. And a lot of who they understood about who God is was starting to be almost forgotten. And so here, they're in the wilderness for 40 years. God was reintroducing himself back to them. And he wanted to let them realize, hey, this Sabbath is not just a reminder that I'm your creator and your provider, but also that I'm your redeemer. I saved you from the bondage of sin. So it's also a reminder that God redeems us as well. The Sabbath is not just a reminder that God is our creator, but he is also our redeemer. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 to 19, it says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And if we have any confusion of when the seventh day Sabbath is, you know, the whole Christian world understands that Christ died on Friday, which the Catholic call Good Friday. Jesus was in the tomb on Saturday, on Sabbath, which is the seventh day, and he rose from the dead Sunday early morning. So we know from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3 and verse 14, that God is that word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the word that through all things, everything was made. So we know Christ is our creator, but he is also our redeemer as he died on the cross. But just as God created the world in 6 days and rested on the Sabbath, Jesus worked his redemptive work, rested on the Sabbath, and then resurrected on the first day of the week. So there really is no confusion when that day is, if people have that confusion. It has never changed. The weekly cycle has not been altered. So we see briefly the importance of the Sabbath is for mankind. It points us to God, to Jesus as our creator and our redeemer. And so that's why it should be different than the rest of the week. So we come to church to focus upon the Lord, to interact with other like believers, to fellowship with others, so that our focus stays on the Lord and not on mankind. And it gives us a rest from the week. It gets challenging, it gets stressful, it gets busy, but we can slow things down, take a breather, and rest from that. So that's about marriage. Sabbath. Let's go to marriage. Let's go back on the screen. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image. After our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, and male and female created he them. And God blessed him and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So here God made man. But based on the context, he is talking about mankind. He made them only two genders, male and female. Together, they are to reflect God's image and likeness. So we are to complement one another. Even if you're not married to someone, we are to complement each other. Both genders are to complement each other, reflecting God's image and likeness. Obviously more important marriage, but just to have the general idea. They are to multiply and fill the earth. It cannot be possible doing any other way but the way God had created us, through one male and one female, to be able to reproduce and fill the earth. They are to have dominion over all living creatures. So there's a responsibility there from God to mankind in taking care of the earth. Not for our salvation, it's just our responsibility as stewards to take look after the earth. I'm already hitting key points. You already see that there's already a difference from what God says to what we're hearing in the world. Going back here on the screen, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, and then verse 21 to 24, it says, "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help me for him.' And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.'" So here God had created Adam, and then he gave him the responsibility of naming the animals. And there he was able to see that all the animals had their mate, but he couldn't find someone for himself. God wanted him to realize that there wasn't one for him, but there was a need for him to have one. He wanted to sort of come to that conclusion himself before God then created a woman for him. But God, what he made was a partner, not a subordinate or a superior spouse for Adam, but a partner, right? He didn't take the bone from his feet where he can step over her, or a bone from his head where she can rule over him, but from his rib. They are to be equal partner in marriage. Someone from himself, bone taken from Adam, someone to be by his side, working together to complement each other in helping reflect God's character. You know, one of the key things when it comes to marriage, or even why God would even send disciples two by two, not only for safety, and there's other reasons, but one of it is for character development. You know, try to live your life and then realizing there's someone next to you that looks at things a little differently, do things a little differently, has different habits, comes from a different background. It tests your faith, it tests your patience, and it helps if you're using that as a way to surrender to God. God can use that to develop your character as well as theirs. Just pause for us for a second about marriage. Going back about the Ten Commandments, Jesus was asked if he could summarize the Ten Commandments. More importantly, if he could say, out of all the Ten Commandments, what is the most important of it all? So Jesus had a response to it. I have it here on the screen in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 to 40. Jesus said unto him, the one who was asking him, he says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Luke says, adds, "with all your strength" as well. He says, verse 38, "This is the first and great commandment." So already he gave them the answer. The greatest of all is to love God with all your soul, heart, mind, and strength. But he didn't end there. He said, "And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So in other words, Christ wasn't necessarily telling him which of the Ten Commandments is superior. He summarized the Ten Commandments into two: loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. First God, then mankind. So the Ten Commandments divided into two, which coincidentally, the Ten Commandments were given in two tablets, four on one, six on the other. The first four is how do we love God? How do we love him with all mind, soul, and strength? We'll obey the first four commandments. Should not be any other gods before me. Do not use his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day holy. God tells us how to worship and how to love him. How do we love our neighbor? By keeping the last six. You love your neighbor, you're not going to steal from him or lie to them or covet their things. And so on and so forth. But even the fourth commandment, I'll add even to that, because the fourth commandment, the Sabbath, is a unifier. Because yes, I keep the Sabbath for, I personally keep it because I love God, but if I have, let's say I have a small business and I have people working for me, or you know, my wife and I, we have a garden, let's say we hire employees, my responsibility, if I love my neighbor, I'm going to give them the Sabbath day off as well to rest. So the Sabbath really is the unifier of loving God and loving mankind, which is a reminder God is our creator and also our redeemer. So it brings to mind the idea of love. So how do we show that? By keeping God's commandment. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. The attribute given to God in the Bible is the same given to his law, that is merciful, that is gracious, that is powerful, that is everlasting, is given to both God and his law, because God's character is expressed in God's law. So as the law is God's character, which is love, love, true love, is expressed when keeping God's commandment, when we love our spouse, our children, our family, our friends, our neighbors, loving them as we love ourselves, as we are loving God, by keeping his law. By doing this, we are expressing God's character. So marriage, family, humanity, is not easy getting along with one another. We have different background, different perspective, different ideas, different experiences. It's challenging. We have, but as we learn to love each other and help each other love one another as God shows us through his law, we are reflecting then his character. So marriage should be a safe place to grow, a place to develop God's character. And both the Sabbath and marriage are about God's character. The Sabbath points us to God's perfect and holy character as it directs us, reminds us, and points us to God as creator and redeemer. It also points us to the Ten Commandments, in which is God's character. Marriage is for character development, for mankind to develop God's character. Each spouse, as partners in life, help one another to develop and reflect the character of God. So we're seeing these two parallels. Not only we see in the Ten Commandments, how half of it you can see how we love God, express that, the other how we express love to mankind. We also see that with the Sabbath and with marriage, how one is to serve God and the other one is to develop. Make your mistakes, you struggle, but you're helping each other, encouraging each other to continue on with God's word. Both have been, today, more than ever, have been under attack. We know the Sabbath's pretty obvious. We know it's been under attack for a long time. We know that through the, the beast or the Antichrist since the Dark Ages have had a counterfeit Sabbath, Sunday. We know that. But even marriage, especially nowadays, have been heavily under attack. There are many different ways that it's under attack when there's slight differences in what God has made in terms of marriage. We know that there's cultures and certain beliefs that you can have more than one spouse. And there's cultures all over the world and even religions around the world that have that same kind of belief, whether it be multiple wives or multiple husbands. There's that already a counterfeit to God's marriage. But there's more to it than that. The Sabbath, the seventh day, God's true day of rest, there's a counterfeit that's being pushed by not only those who are for climate change, but even through those, right now it's, what's it called, Christian nationalists, but even others who are pushing this idea of a different Sabbath. So I'm going to show a couple of slides. Again, this is not very exhaustive, and I believe most of you have heard a lot of these things already. And even through our religious liberty, Elder Kenny has kind of also expressed that there's laws and things are changing that are coming that can impact our religious liberty in a very negative way. So I believe that many of you have heard this, so this is not very exhaustive. So here there's an article, a website called Green Sabbath Project. So their focus is climate change. What can we do to help climate change, to help reverse the negative effect that's happening, climate change. It says there on the front page, there is nothing you can do. Is there nothing you can do about the environment? Nothing may be one of the best things you can do. One day every week, do nothing. And then it continues on. Let me actually read it from the screen. It says, take a weekly day of rest. Make it a real Sabbath for you, for Earth. Don't drive, don't shop, don't build. Take a walk, eat with friends, play or read with your kids. Sing, meditate, celebrate contentment. You know, if you continue to research in the website and even interact with others who are part of this movement, it always goes to the same day. Sure, take one day. It starts general. Pick whatever day you want of the week and do nothing. But ultimately, the goal is to get everyone to that one common day, which is what? Sunday. Here's another, this is from the Weather Channel, and it says, Eco Sabbath, how to cut emissions by doing nothing. And even on the little trending today thing, this one says, save the earth by taking a day off. So there's already a push for this idea of climate change to take that day off. During the pandemic, they realized that people being in quarantine, how the earth was kind of restoring itself back. And so many nations actually started enforcing people to have Sunday off. No work, no shop, no nothing. And so we started to see that already. So we see that in terms of the climate change aspect, but what about in terms of politics, or what about in terms of religion? We know through the ecumenical movement, they are pushing for this common day that we can all come together as believers of God. Well, there's this one project that I know many of you have heard called Project 2025. This project, the goal of this is that the next president will have sort of a set of guidelines, I guess, or rules or steps on what they want the president to do in his first 100 days to kind of restore morality and values back to this country. There are a lot of interesting things, some nice stuff, but one in particular caught my attention. Now, this is very obvious. It hasn't been hidden. This is coming from the Republican side, especially the religious Republican hard right. And there's a part in one of their sections there in Project 25. I'll show you here in the next slide. It's highlighted. It says Sabbath rest. It says God ordained the Sabbath as a day of rest, and until very recently, the Judeo-Christian tradition sought to honor that mandate by moral and legal regulation of work on that day. Moreover, a shared day off makes it possible for families and communities to enjoy time off together, rather than as atomized individuals, and provides a healthier cadence of life for everyone. Unfortunately, that communal day of rest has eroded under the pressure of consumerism and secularism, especially for low-income workers. So already they're starting to plant the seeds that there needs to be a communal day, one that we can all agree so we can enjoy that day together as families, as friends, so on. And the last point there highlighted says Congress should encourage communal rest. How does Congress encourage anything?
Law.
Through law, right? And it says in the other highlighted, it's the last highlighted part, says that day would default to Sunday. So it's very easy to start off, hey, just pick any day. You know, in my family, we all keep the same day. Great, your family may keep a different day. And that should be fine. Based on our religious liberty, that should be fine. But what are they wanting? The Congress to make it something that we all come together on the same day. And the default would be Sunday. Now that's coming from the right. Do you think anything coming from the left? This is a video from Midnight Cry Media that he kind of shared. They're videos, and I like how he's kind of summarized it, but this is coming from the left. But you can watch the whole video clip. It's from Midnight Cry Media. But here, let me play.
To the Democrats. This is a video from a congressman, Chris Murphy, discussing the idea of a 32-hour work week and why implementing that may be necessary. Let's take a look.
I wanted to talk to you just
a little bit about leisure time. You've talked about this already. You really importantly talk about the importance that your faith plays in the work that you do and in your life. There's a pretty wild thing happening in America today. In 2000, 70% of Americans belonged to a religious institution, but today that number is 50%. This has been a pretty precipitous decline in the ability or willingness of Americans to, you know, go to church or to a religious institution on a regular basis. And I think that has lots of broad impacts in our society. But there are a lot of reasons for that. But one of them is that Americans just have less free time. When you have to work 70 hours to get the same standard of living for your family that 40 hours would have gotten you a few decades ago, you don't have time to go to Wednesday night Bible study. You might not have the ability to even attend church or services on a Sunday. You can talk about church if you want or if you don't want, but it is just true that some of the leisure time activities, some of the institutions that Americans found value and meaning in are less accessible when you have to work these long hours.
You know, it's work-life balance. And as I say, when you're working multiple jobs to live paycheck to paycheck, or you're working 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, something else is sacrificed in that. And that's what ends up happening. You have to sacrifice, ability to go to church. If it's something else to do on a Sunday, maybe you get a Sunday off and you haven't slept all week and you spend the whole day sleeping. I mean, that is a reality a lot of workers face. On some of the schedules they work.
Listen, I agree with you. I think we should have an interest in leisure time, right? We should have an interest in making sure that people are able to find value outside of work. A lot of people find value in work, and I'm glad that they do, but a lot of people find more value by the institutions and the social clubs and the churches that they affiliate and spend time with outside of work, but that is just less accessible for people today, and that should be a public policy interest of the United States Congress, and I appreciate this hearing allowing us to talk about that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
There you have it, a 32-hour work week. Who wouldn't want that? But I want you to keep in mind that he is a Democrat, and he was focusing on democratic things, including workers' rights. But at the core of his thinking was that people need to have an environment where they can attend church on Sunday. Two sides of the political aisle who are sworn enemies that are both very concerned about getting people into church and getting them into church on Sunday.
All right, so we're seeing that both sides are pretty much saying the same thing, just from a slight little different angle or slight different language. But think about it this way. Whenever something becomes politicized, one side picks one extreme, the other side picks the other extreme, and they're constantly in battle within that. When it comes to immigration, I'm an immigrant. You know, when it comes to the issue with the border, one extreme is complete wall with a certain process to be able to come into this country. And the other extreme, there is no wall. Just come in and we'll figure it out when you get in here. And they can't seem to come to a common ground. And as the years goes by, things become more and more extreme. Sunday is not going to be a political issue. It's going to be what brings them together. Just like the Sabbath is what should bring God's people together, to remind us that God is our creator, to remind us that he's our redeemer, a way that we can come together as people to give each other rest. This counterfeit Sabbath, the Sunday, is what will bring the world together in opposition to God. You know, I don't have a problem people worshiping God however they want and whatever day they want. But when you try to bring it and forcing it to people, and I know they didn't use the word force, you know, and word encourage, but when you involve the state, their words of encouraging is not but through law, which ultimately will end up being enforced. But that's about Sabbath. What about marriage? God made them male and female. Already, I know, just by mentioning that, it rubbed people the wrong way. But there's a counterfeit that's being pushed, primarily by the LGBT community. And because of their influence, even within our church, there are people that are pushing for these ideas. I will go back on back on the screen. In Psychology Today, it has this definition about gender. It says, all humans are born with biological characteristics of sex, either male, female, or intersex. Gender, however, is a social construct and generally based on the norms, behaviors, and societal roles expected of individuals based on primarily on their sex. Gender identity describes a person's self-perceived gender, which could be male, female, or otherwise. In recent years, expanding the public understanding of gender has freed many to feel more comfortable in their own skin and live as the people they believe themselves to be. People whose gender identity corresponds to their biological sex may be referred to as cisgender. Transgender people have a gender identity that does not conform to the sex they were assigned at birth, and people whose gender identity feels neither masculine nor feminine may identify as non-binary, while those who feel non-gender identity may refer to themselves as a gender. Clear? Understand? Okay. So this is what's going on within our society nowadays. There's no longer this idea of just male or female. Now there's huge amount of variety within there. NPR had an article says a guide to gender identity terms, and it kind of gives you some definitions like about gender identity, gender expression, cisgender, transgender, and non-binary, and this bunch of others more in that list. That's what's going on. You know, in reality, I hear people say, "Oh, it doesn't matter. You want to identify yourselves as whatever you want. Just leave the children alone." My issue is, whatever the world wants to do, whatever, you do you. But when it comes to the church, when it comes to God's people, my advice is, who are we serving? Am I serving myself or am I serving God? And if I'm serving God or want to serve God, then we need to learn God's way, even if it conflicts with my feelings or what I think things should be. I need to come to God in prayer and in guidance. I know in some ways, many of us, because of our generation, we may not be so easily welcoming of this new type of way of thinking. The younger generation makes it a little bit, it's a lot harder for them to avoid talking about this or hearing about this. But it comes down pretty much to, who do we serve? If we serve God, then let's follow God, right? Going back to Israel, God freed them from the bondage that they had in Egypt. But he didn't just lead them as they were. He showed them and taught them how to live godly. The same with us. When I look around, most of us have accepted Christ as a Lord and Savior, have been baptized, but God did not leave us as just as we are in the past. He is guiding us, teaching us, still your choice, to embrace who God is and help and allow God to transform us, reflecting of his character. When it comes to Sunday law, we know what's going to take place. But I wanted to just let you realize that it had nothing to do with one side or the other. It's very easy to say that when one side speaks more about it than the other. But in reality, it is spreading all over the world. Nations already passed laws about Sunday law, making it harder for those who keep Sabbath or even non-Christians to worship God how they see fit. So the question then is left, as I finish up here, is what are we to do? Are we just to sit there and just let things go by? No, we are to take action. We are reminded in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, this is about God, he says, keep my commandments. So how do we express that love to others? How do we express that love to God? By keeping his commandments. In chapter 15, verse 10 of John, if you keep my commandments, and you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. As last week's sermon that talks about God's blueprint of truth, we're reminded that God has bestowed upon us a big responsibility, an incredible truth, not only that should transform our lives, should transform our way of thinking, but should encourage us to share that truth with others around. We have that opportunity. Our church has been blessed not only to receive funds, but to receive resources and get more resources that we need to share with others, whether it be about the great controversy, letting them know what's going on and what will take place soon, even about health. It could be about you want to have a closer relationship with God. We have resources like Steps to Christ and others that helps us to know better who God is, about His plan, about His character. He doesn't lead us in the darkness. He wants us to be aware of where we are in time and what will be taking place. So now is the time, than ever, to be sharing the message. I've heard Adventists say, you know, we don't need to right now. It's not the time yet because things are still fine. It is the time. Because if you hear brothers and sisters in other countries in the world where it's not easy to be a Christian, let alone a Seventh-day Adventist, they have a hard time sharing that message around in the world. They'll go to prison, they'll be fired. I mean, the list goes on and on of the things that they have to endure. But now that we are living in this country, that there's still peace, we can come to church on Sabbath, we can still go out and share the gospel message, pass out literature, now is the time to do so. Because then, just by being a Sabbath keeper will come at a high price. The twin institution made by God for the blessing of humanity. Let us hold fast to them before it's too late. Maranatha.